for this week's theme is love, and that we focus on the love between Mary and Joseph. So I want to start by reflecting on the passage that Esther read for us from Matthew. We don't know much about Joseph apart from a few passages at the beginning of Luke and Matthew's Gospels. From what is known about marriage relationship in the society at the time, it's thought that Mary would have been a lot younger than Joseph. And we could also presume that her father and Joseph or Joseph's male relatives would have arranged the marriage for them. They may not have known each other or spent very much time together at all before they were married. But everything might have been going along as normal for them in their world at the time, and then suddenly everything changes. I wonder if you can imagine how it might have felt to be Joseph. Mary comes to you and says that she's pregnant and in very unexpected circumstances. First, you have to process the possibility that the person you are promised to in marriage has been unfaithful. Virginity was essential for a woman entering marriage in that time. There were traditions within marriage ceremonies that involved proving it. And it's obviously a big deal from the number of times it's mentioned in this story. Joseph must have been firstly surprised and then reeling from the first part of Mary's sentence. And then Mary says where the baby has come from. Can you imagine how Joseph must have felt? I think he would have first questioned her sanity. How can she say such an outrageous thing? That God, who is so holy and awesome, would choose an unknown and ordinary young woman to play an essential role in the story of sharing the love of God with the world. Joseph had grown up hearing stories of his tupuna and the ways that God had entered into their ordinary lives in miraculous ways. He had learned the stories of God's love and protection for creation. He knew the scriptures of the coming of the promised Messiah. His whole community would say them together. Maybe he had had experiences of people thinking that the Messiah had arrived, only to be proved wrong. I imagine there was plenty of skepticism mixed in with hope that they would be rescued from the tyranny of Roman occupation. But even knowing the scriptures, when Mary told him, it would have been completely outrageous. I think we do see evidence of Joseph's character and his love for Mary, that he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace to protect his reputation, and so he decided to divorce her quietly. Mary quite literally put her life into his hands when she told him. He could have exposed her and she could have been publicly stoned. Mary is so brave, so vulnerable in this situation. And when we talk about a step of faith, this is an enormous one. And what a challenge, what a huge challenge for two people at the beginning of a relationship. I would love to know more about how they were feeling. Did they have a friend they talked things through? How did Joseph process this? And how long was it in that time from when Mary told him until he had that dream where the angel messenger confirmed Mary's words? I want to know if Joseph talked to Mary after that, if he told her about the dream and they talked about how amazing everything that was happening was. Maybe they spoke of committing themselves to going on this journey together. Maybe they tried to make plans for how to protect them both from public scrutiny as Mary's pregnancy became more obvious. Maybe they came up with the idea together that Mary visit Elizabeth to get support from her relative. There's so much we don't know and have to imagine. But let's look a little bit more about love. We can think of love as a sentimental feeling that is very changeable. We might get butterflies in our stomach when we read a love story or experience it at the beginning of a relationship. But then ordinary life often comes along and those feelings might fade a little bit. We could say that love is simply an action and a choice and hold it separate from our feelings and have it not involve our hearts and protect ourselves a little bit. Or we might see love as a warm blanket that kind of cushions us from anything hard. It doesn't demand or challenge us in any way. But this is not the love story that Mary and Joseph were invited into that first Christmas. We would like love to be tidy and easy and non-threatening, but that's not how love works. Instead, it's messy and complex and complicated, and it can be very threatening indeed. But it is also the most wonderful, life-giving and energizing thing we might ever encounter. And it is the heart of this Christmas story. Mary, in saying yes to God's invitation, chose the way of love. She accepted her role as the mother of Jesus, along with the questions, the shame and the blow to her reputation that it would bring. And she and Joseph faced their new life together. Joseph, in not reporting Mary, in believing the angel's message for him, in sticking with Mary throughout her pregnancy, no matter what other people said to him or what rumours swirled around them and the doubts that must have crossed his mind, chose the way of life, love too. The love between Joseph and Mary was, in many ways, an extraordinary story. But it was also ordinary, in that two people committed themselves to each other to face the ups and downs of life, to keep choosing each other in the face of many challenges, and to care for another person deeply, to be vulnerable in the most difficult of circumstances. This isn't a shallow or safe love. It was wild and deep and fierce, and it changed the world, as love sometimes does. 1 John 4, verse 8 states that God is love. Love is at the heart of the gospel story of God revealing God's loving and all-welcoming presence through Jesus. Jesus' whole life expressed and demonstrated that the greatest commandment is to love God with our whole selves and to love our neighbours as ourselves. This means that the way to experience the divine presence in our lives is to dive as deeply as we can into love. It's love that pulses through everything. And so we can't live fully, authentically, or courageously without love. We can't know a meaningful and fulfilling life without love at its centre. As 1 Corinthians 13 says, without love, I'm nothing. Globally, we've tried for centuries to build a healthy world with power, dominance, war, and competition. And it doesn't work. That's why Jesus' entire life, from his birth to his ascension, was all about the reign of God that turns our world's values and priorities upside down and makes love our primary framework for living. It's time to turn our efforts to love, collaboration, and mutual care and sharing of power and resources to address the greatest challenges of our world and create safe, meaningful, and secure lives for everyone and for the earth and for the creatures of the earth. Relationally, there can be no connection without some kind of attraction, some force that pulls us together, and that force is love in many different forms and depths. When we relate to one another healthily and with genuine love, our lives are enriched. We're empowered to become our best selves, and we find a deep sense of meaning and fulfillment in whatever those relationships are, be they with ourselves and our friendships, with family, with children, or with our partners. The deep care, support, and love that is revealed in Joseph and Mary's love story is an inspiration for us to love in the same self-giving way. Which brings me to what I think is the heart of love this Advent season. As Isaiah says, that the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This God that steps down into humanity, into this world that they created, to the absolute fragility of a newborn baby, completely reliant on Mary and Joseph. Without the incarnation, I couldn't follow God. The idea of an all-powerful God who watches the suffering and struggle in the world from their heavenly throne and chooses to not respond is an anathema for me. There's too much cruelty in the world. I see glimpses of it in the stories of the people I visit in hospital, even though I recognise that I am in an immensely privileged place in this world. I know a little bit of what some suffering. But we also see glimpses of it every time we turn on the news or read the account of some of the lives that people are facing every day in this world now. But somehow this Advent story that God entered our world in a dark and dangerous time, in a dark and dangerous place, and lived amongst us, fully human, fully divine, growing up from a newborn baby, that God understands life because they have lived it in human skin with all the emotions, thoughts, challenges, joys and pains and pain and experiences that are involved. And stepping down into our world, God provides a way for us to find freedom and life even in the midst of the most difficult circumstances. And in the sacrifice of God's self, to have hope for a new way of living. And to be returned to love itself when we die. And God is with us in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, closer than our very breath. I asked Sean if we could sing God Made Low this morning, and their chorus, Emmanuel has come to us. The Christ is born, hallelujah. Our God made low to lift us up. Emmanuel has come to us. So where is God? Right here with us. Where is God? Right where you are. Where is God? Right where the deepest pain in our world is. Where is God? Here. In the awesome mystery that is beyond my understanding, God is right here now with every one of us, every person in this whole wide world, and God has always been. That in whatever is happening in our lives, whatever we are experiencing, God is still Emmanuel, God with us. And that is the heart of love this Advent season. I heard this song this week and I wanted to play it for us now as a kind of invitation to reflect on God's love today. A song is called In the Major Majesty. I'd like, as our wee liturgical guide has suggested, that you might like to, while the song is being played, hold your hands out firstly and think about things that stop love reaching you this Christmas time. And then maybe let your hands turn over and let those things go. And then you might like to open up your hands again and think about the things that allow love to flourish in you this Christmas time. And then you might hold those your hands to your hearts and embrace those things. So we're just going to sit quietly and listen to this for a minute.
In the quiet of the night, heaven whispered earth's delight. In a cradle made of straw, love himself was lying small. No crown upon his head, yet all creation held its breath. For in that humble place, glory wrapped in newborn grace. Shepherds trembled at the light, angels singing through.
In the manger, majesty, God of glory.
So my prayer for us this Advent season is may that the unbreakable love of Christ would be poured into our hearts and overflowed into the world around us, and that we would know that God is with us in every moment, in every circumstance, and we'd know that for each other and for our whole world as well. Amen.